Yes. It's good to be up here again this morning. The last time I was up here was on the 9th October 2022. Excuse me. Right. The last time I was here was in October 2022, when I was speaking on the subject of the Christian priesthood in Hebrews. So it's a great honor and privilege to be back here after 2.5 years or so. I have COVID to blame because it came in and then I could not come here. I understand that just recently you celebrated your 55th anniversary. I saw the video presentation on Facebook, but I wonder whether I thought that it was not traced back to the very foundation, but whether it was mentioned or not, I do not know. But we started at Chisholm Road, Taylor Road, and this would be the first Sunday school class that would lead to Island Glades Gospel Center. Study the photo carefully. If any one of you is in the photo, please put up your hand. Not a single person. Not a single one. Imagine that. You? Were you? Our sister there? No. Okay. Surprising that none of you was ever in the very first foundation of Island Glades Gospel Chapel. Okay. I have a lot of things to say today, so I must go on. Now, today I have been requested especially by the oversight to speak on 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 to 34. Now that, I mean, frankly speaking, I would believe would be the responsibility of the oversight. But never mind, I'll try to do my best. I'm not an elder now, but as a teacher of God's Word, let me be able to show you what it teaches. Now, chapter 11 to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians is an exposition on the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is this foundation. I cannot deal with the chapter by itself because people may misunderstand it, people may misinterpret it, so I have got to go to the foundation of that exhortation. And it is found in verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and that the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, this is a very strange verse, but the whole teaching and practice of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 to 12, 13, 14, then that would include the uncovering of the man's head and the covering of the woman's head and the observation of the Lord's Supper. All these are based upon this text. I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Now, this seems to be not a very sensible text. How can God be the head of Christ? Isn't Christ equal with God? This is our discussion this morning as we deal with biblical headship, part one, today's study. And because this is a very important text, we have got to see its teaching from the beginning of Scripture to the very end, so that we do not just miss out the very foundation text of this teaching of the uncovering of the man's head and the covering of the woman's head and the remembrance of the Lord at the Lord's Supper. So we must understand this text properly. Right. For then, next week, then only I will touch on the topic of 1 Corinthians 11, 1 to 16. So for this week, I will just touch on verse 3 alone, because it is so important. If you misunderstand the foundation of the exaltation in 11, then in 11:3, then you fail to understand what is the headship of God and Christ as mentioned. We will find that this headship leads on. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of every man. Man is the head of the woman, and the woman and all in the home, extended to the home, the husband is the head of the wife. Now, all these relationships are based solely on the fact God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of the woman. Now, I'm not sure I'm able to cover this study properly, because I don't think I will be able to do so. So I may have to leave out the study on the Lord's Supper until another week, perhaps, if I'm privileged to come again. But in the meanwhile, it will be just on chapter 11, 1 to 16 next week, and that's all, because I have been given only 2 weeks. Right. Now, this chapter, people do not like to cover, because they say that it's controversial. Is it controversial, or is it a clear-cut case of establishing the headship of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the man that he has appointed? What is it? Are they just customs? Customs at that time, traditions? Now, we all believe that we must not keep the traditions of man or of the church passed down from time to time. Are they traditions that we need to observe? Are they cultural, referring only to the time when that was the culture at that time? That's why they had this practice. Or was it confined to the church in Corinth? Now, in the case of the first one, are they traditional? Well, if you look at 11 verse 2, I hope you have your Bible read open with you. 11 verse 2, it says that Paul says that you keep the traditions, the ordinances. The word ordinance is the same Greek word in 2 Thessalonians 2:15, which is translated traditions. These are not ordinary traditions. They are traditions, ordinances, passed down by the Lord to the apostles, and Paul says, which I have commanded you to keep. So it is not just a church tradition being passed down. Are they cultural? We shall deal with that later on. Was it the practice of the Greeks, of the Jewish, and of the Jews at that time, so that we are not any of these, we are Chinese, we don't have to keep them? Well, chapter 14, verse 37, tells us that it applies to all. Are they confined to the church in Corinth? Only that was applied to the church in Corinth, because the church in Corinth was very worldly, was away from the Lord. Confined to that, chapter 14, verse 33, tells us that this teaching applies to all churches everywhere, all churches. So we shall enter into this discussion in greater detail as we go on next week. So let's look at the contextual challenge. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of woman. What does it mean? Is it just limited, restricted to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, or restricted to the so-called brethren tradition? We need to have a look at it now. Today in America, there is a movement going on which we must wake up to, because it is woke. The woke ideology today teaches that everybody has rights, and therefore one has a right, not necessary to be a man or a woman. When one is born into this world, one can just be a man or a woman, but should not be designated by the authorities as gender male, gender female. No, because that male later on may choose to be a female. So that woman becomes a woman. So a person born a male may become a woman. And a girl born as such may become a man later on. So that is the teaching. What is WAKE? We oppose knowledge extinction. That's what it is. We have every right. Everyone has equal right. A man has a right, a woman has a right, and there's no such thing as a male or female, because a male can slowly become a female. A female can slowly become a male. And because, and that's why you have this male. You see, which one do you choose, male or female? He was born biologically a male, but he became a female in order to take part in the swimming competition of the women's section. And he stopped all because he was a man. And he gained a lot of prizes, swept away all the prizes in the swimming competition. Now, because he was born a man, but he chose to be a woman. And so he had a right to compete in the women's swimming relay, swimming competition. He had a right to go into the women's toilet. And nobody could complain. This is the woke that is coming up. Rights. We have a right. We have a right to do this. We have a right to do that. We do not want to come up under any submission to anybody else. So, a person who is born into this world, the medical authorities have no right to put down their gender, male, no. Gender, female, no. Then put what? X. Because that later on, that baby would choose to be a male. Then only he could become a male, a man. That person can become a woman, although biologically the baby will have all the signs of the biological man or the biological woman. But never mind. By treatment, by medical consultation, and by mental and psychological consultation, that person could be changed to be what he wants to be. Now, this is what is becoming. So we see that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake against woke and to get out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe. When you see these things happening, indeed, we are nearing to the last end days. Be careful that we don't get caught in this. Know your rights, rules, and responsibilities. We must make a difference between rights, rules, and responsibilities. Rights are different from roles, and roles are different from responsibilities. And we see these three being practiced out by the Lord Jesus Christ himself and by God. Right. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. That's what is happening to the woke adherents. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And therefore they say, there is no God. God is a myth. That's the teaching of the woke adherents. So let us wake up to woke. Let us not sleep. And let's not allow the woke teaching to come into the church. Can you imagine at the very inauguration of Trump as the President of the United States, the pastor of the inauguration service was a woman who spoke up for woke. Very shameful, but there it was. Right. Therefore, let us understand now what all this means, the rights. God is the head of Christ. How can that be? God and Christ, are they not equal? Why should God be the head of Christ? Now let's consider the rights of the divine persons, the divine headship. I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Let's examine that text properly now. The rights, meaning equality of divine persons. God has the right to be God. Christ is God. The Holy Spirit is God. We read this in Hebrews 1:8. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit all are referred to as God. Hebrews 1:8, God says, no angel is referred to as God except the Son. And God says, Thou Son, O God, and endureth forever. God called his Son God. Acts 5:3-4. God called the Holy Spirit God. Paul referred to Ananias and Sapphira. Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? You are actually lying to God. Matthew 28:19. All of us have gone through this. Be ye baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All are equal. Name, singular, in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father and the Son are God, are one. We read, for example, in John 8:58, Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham, he would be, or he should be, or he was, or he had been. No, before Abraham was, I am, because the Lord Jesus Christ was claiming the name of God as revealed to Moses. I am that I am. And tell the Israelites that I am has sent you. Jesus is claiming to be equal with God. John 10:30, I and my Father are one. Those of you who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in the Father's hands. And the Father's hands are in my hands, the Lord's hands. And we both are one. The Son claims equality with God, the Father. Chapter 5:18, 23, 26, and 10:33. Especially 10:33, the Jews accused the Lord Jesus Christ. Because thou, being a man, makest thyself God, of blasphemy. And so we find, how could God be the head of Christ when God and Christ are God? We must understand, therefore, rights. This is a reference to the rights of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go on to the second part, the roles. What then are the roles? Although the Father is God, the Son is God, and by their own right, the Spirit is God, the head of Christ is God. There's a role. A role. Philippians 2:6-8. Who being in the very nature of God, the right, Jesus Christ, the right of being God, did not consider equality, the role with God, the right with God, something to be grasped, but made himself his role, taking the very nature that is the role that the Lord Jesus Christ took, to be a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. That is a role. But the role does not deprive him of his right to be God. He's both God, and he plays the role as the Son. God is the head of Christ. And as by playing the role as son, we find him living as a true man of the earth, going to the cross at Calvary. So let's understand this. Go on. The Father is the first person. Now, in under theological terms, let us, for easy reverence, say that the Father is the first person of the Godhead, the Son is the second person of the Godhead, and the Spirit the third. Now, we read in John 14:24, 17:25, and 26, when I go away, the Father will send me. The Father will send the Holy Spirit. We never read of the Son sending the Father. We don't read of the Son sending the Spirit. Because the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The Father sent the Son. The Father sent the Spirit. John 15:26. When I go away, I will send the Spirit. I will send the Spirit whom the Father will send, and he will comfort you. Note, why do I pay so much significance and importance on send? The Lord Jesus Christ in the parable earlier said, when a master sends a servant out, the master is on a higher level than the servant. Because the house that a master can send the servant is sent. And therefore, by referring to God sending the Spirit, God sending the Son, God is the head of Christ. The Spirit, we read, the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, will not speak of himself, but the Spirit will speak of me when the Spirit comes. And so we see this rule. The role of a person does not deprive that person of his right. They are equal, but for the sake of doing something, that one person takes on a role subservient to the other, to be obedient to the other, to achieve for both what they want to do for the person. The Father and the first person and the Son is the second. Alright? So, the Father is the head of Christ. The Son also learns obedience. Hebrews 5:8. We read that the Son is obedient to the Father. You don't read the Father is obedient to the Son. Because the Father is the head of the Son. God is the head of Christ. And Christ, taking upon himself the role, the nature of man, became obedient to the Father. He's obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. He seeks not his will. I come to do my Father's will. Not my will be done, but thine. And so again and again we see this, how God became the head of Christ. So roles. Having designated the role of the person, now is the responsibility of the person to play out, to obey what his role is. And we see now the responsibilities and roles. The headship of God we dealt with already over the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this headship of Father, Son, Holy Spirit over man and over woman now by going back even right up to the very beginning in creation order. At the time of creation, we see this. It is not only at the time of the Corinthian church. This was established. The man is head of the woman. It was established right from the time when man and woman were created. Sorry. Where have you gone? All right. Now we see this enacted in creation order, that even at the time of creation, we could trace that man was placed the head of the woman. The head of the woman is a man. I dealt with God is the head of Christ. Now, don't man and woman have equal rights? That's what woke wants. Man and woman have equal right to be what they want to be and what they choose to be. God says the head of the woman is a man. The rights of man and woman in creation. Let's deal first with the rights. Are men and women not equal in rights? Yes, they are. All the headship of man before the fall. We'll deal with this before the fall, during the fall, and after the fall of the relationship between man and woman. Now, Genesis 1, 26, 28, very important passage. The headship of man, the equality of man and woman, stated very clearly here. God said, let us make man. The man here is not necessarily male. It is man and woman, humanity, mankind. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them, and that's why I say man is not the male, singular. Let them, plural, have dominion over everything. So from the beginning, even before Eve was created, God already designated that man and woman must be head over creation. His creation involved the triune God personally. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were involved in creation of man and woman. Let's see. God said, let us make man. Please note, God said, let us make man. God would be singular, but he used the plural pronoun. Let us make man, 126 and 24 of Genesis. He was created to bear the triune God's image. In our image, after our likeness. In what way are we made after God's image? God is a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All men are tripartite. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. We are made after the image of God. So God created man in his own image. So God created humanity, man, in his own image. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Triune God. In the image of God created he him. Not necessarily Adam. Not necessarily the man. But humanity. Man was male and female. Very clearly spelled out in the next part of chapter 1, verse 27. Male and female created he, him. And today, woke will not want us to recognize that anyone born into this world is a male or female, but can be male at the time and become a female later and vice versa. And for all that matters, the person, when he is born, the baby, when he is born, if the father feels that, or especially the mother, feels that it's too burdensome to have the child, abort the child. Abort the child. The child has no life. Never mind. Abort the child. This is not God's teaching. God's teaching is male and female created he them. Whether you like a male when the baby was to be born or a female when the baby was to be born, you have him. Male or female, God created he. Both there were appointed head over God's creation. Head, man and woman would be above all creation. Let them have dominion. Let them. Please, when you read these passages in Genesis, pay attention to the pronouns. The woke group says there's no pronouns as far as gender is concerned. No pronouns. Gender is a spectrum between that which is male and that which is female. Can be half male, half female, one quarter male, three quarter female, and so on. It's a spectrum. The role of man's headship in creation order. Hebrews 2, 5-8. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man? Now, that's general anthropos, anthropology, anthropos. That thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him. Thou makest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all subjection under him, he left nothing that is not under him. And so we see, man also has a headship. Man has a headship over creation. That is the order that God has set. The headship of man over the woman hinted, even from the very beginning. Genesis 5:2. Male and created, made female, created he them and called their name Adam. Please note, God created the woman and the man. Male and female created he them and he called them Adam. Both are brought in under one name, Adam. Man is the head of the woman. Adam, in general, would be referred to in particular. For it's the same with the body of Christ. As the body is one and had many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. All of us believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are children of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The men are the sons of God. The women are the daughters of God. They are all children of God. But for this, all are in Christ. And in Christ, we are under God. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man and woman, the head is Christ. The image in man and woman has individually and not collectively. Adam beget a son in his own image, in his own likeness. And so we find after that, a male, if born, is after the image of Adam. All right, let's look at it further into this truth. The woman was created from Adam's rib to play a different role. If men and women were created equal, men and women would be created in the same way. But men and women were created differently to play a different role. God could have created Eve at the same time as Adam. No, he did not. God could have created Eve in the same way as Adam, that is from the dust of the earth. No, he did not. God could have created Eve the same as Adam, that is, with the same physical features, biologically. No. Why? Because God had a different role for the woman to play. The woman was created from Adam's rib to play a different role. The woman was also created, was the man's help, fit for him to play a complement role. The woman was created not to be equal with man in role, but to complement and supplement man in whatever man was appointed to do. And the Lord said, God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And Adam gave names to all cattle and so on. And so the woman was created that she might be a help. She might complement the man. She alone was suitable to meet Adam's loneliness. There was no one that was found in all creation that could satisfy and be a good companion to Adam. She alone was suitable to meet Adam's nature, so that we find that Adam, Eve was made from the rib of Adam. She alone was enough to, was only suitable to meet Adam's nature. She alone was suitable to be one flesh with Adam. Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man love his father and his mother, leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And so you see the supplementary and complementary role of the wife for the man. The woman was the man's help to play a subordinate or the assistant role to help him wherever and whenever the help was needed. The woman was created to help the man, not the man to help the reverse. That is with regard to responsibility and role. The man is the woman's equal, but her head. The woman is the man's equal, but his helper. There was no one else in creation that could be found to satisfy man's need. Right. The woman was named by man in acknowledgement of her inherent role. Genesis 2:23. He did not please. The woman was named by Adam for himself. God did not name Eve. It was Adam. She shall be called woman. He distinguished her from him. Man, woman. I'm a man. You are a woman. You are my help. He discovered her in him. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. He departed from his parents for her. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And so both shall be one. Note the paradox of the creation. Summarize. Chapter 1 teaches the equality of the sexes of God's image bearers and vice rulers on the earth. Chapter 2, we see that make the difference. Man becomes a head, woman becomes a helper. And we find thus a partnership of equals. Man equal with man, but each playing a different role. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, all equal. But Father, Son, Holy Spirit play different roles, one subject to another. Male headship and leadership is wedded to female help to establish a good Christian partnership. Right, let me try to just hurry through and finish. The headship of man is again taught and implied after the fall, before the fall, during the fall, after the fall. What happened? Genesis chapter 3. Eve usurped Adam's authority and led the way into sin. Eve appeared before the serpent and she was tempted, and she acted as head and was deceived. She took the fruit, did eat, and gave. She should not be acting first. She took the fruit. Adam was there. Adam as head should be. She took the place of Adam. And that's why we read in 1 Timothy 2:14, the woman being deceived was in the transgression, not Adam. She was in transgression. But Adam was also penalized. Adam abandoned his responsibility as head. Her husband with her, and he did it. She took the lead, and sheepishly he followed. He sinned in that way. So, we find that when Adam should exercise his leadership, he did not. He followed Eve. And as a result, we find that when we reference to the fall of Adam and Eve, Adam had to answer for both their sin as God's appointed head. After Adam and Eve had sinned, God searched for the culprits. What do we read? Both sinned, but Adam was searched out. God called out, "Where art thou, Adam?" God did not call out, "Where art thou, Eve?" No. Adam was the head. Adam was responsible. "Where art thou, Adam?" Adam was singled out. Both sinned, but Adam was singled out. And that's why we read, by one man sin entered into the world. Why not by one woman? Why not by one man and one woman? By one man sin entered the world. Romans 5:12. So God's administration of judgment, and now we finish. How did God punish Adam and Eve when they sinned against God? First, let's see the punishment directed to Eve. As a mother, she will suffer pain in childbirth. Accept it as a fact of punishment because of sin. Today, because of pain in childbirth, the woman would say, "I do not want to suffer this pain. I do not want this child. Abort him. Abort him." As wife, she will submit to her husband. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That was the punishment. It's part and parcel of the punishment. You can't escape it. And she will help her husband. The desire shall be to thy husband. He will be her head, and she shall rule over thee. Thus, redemption does not redefine creation, but restores the rights, the roles, and responsibility of men and women back to the time of Eden. We cannot say that because we are now redeemed, we now have all these relationships do not occur anymore. But it's still there, been restored. Finally, see the punishment. To Adam, he will suffer in working on the ground. And that's why man has to labor hard, because thou hast hearkened unto thy wife. Eve was not addressed in this way as a formal indictment. He would die, but Eve was not told that, though she also would die. So with this we end. Adam accepted the punishment and called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living, instead of blaming her for the punishment anymore. Don't ever abort that child. Those of you who are familiar with abortion will know how dreadful when the child is pulled out from the mother's womb. It's terrible. And yet we find that the mother has no feeling for that living embryo that is in her womb. Out of death and despair, there appeared faith and hope in living, as they faced together with a better understanding of their roles of headship and subordination, as decreed by God in creation, out of the fall in a delightful fellowship of equality in personal worth, as they set up home together, leading to the role of man's headship in church and the home order. And so with this, I conclude and remind you that in Christ, all of us are equal. We have our rights. Galatians 3:26-28, all of us are sons and daughters of God. We have our rights. All are the same status, no male or female. All are the seed of Abraham. All have faith in Christ. All have been baptized into Christ. All have put on Christ. All are one in Christ. All are Christ. This is found in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. All are equal in Christ. But we must distinguish between rights and roles and responsibilities. I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And there is a testimony, an outward testimony to this teaching of God is the head of Christ, Christ is the head of man, man is the head of woman, which we shall deal with next week, Lord willing. Thank you.